Well, it's no secret that our lives are very busy, aren't they? You know, there's always seem to be pressure on us to go and get more, you know, to be more efficient, to be more productive, to buy more stuff, to get ahead and stay ahead so that we can be more comfortable. That pursuit of more really it consumes us. We just want a little bit more, right? The problem, though, that this causes is that relentless pressure escalates our outer lives to such an extent that we have almost no inner life left. You know, there's very little place for any in our lives for God, and He certainly can't be central like He is supposed to be for us. And so what's interesting is the result of that kind of life where we pursue more and more and more, we're thinking that's what we need. We need more in order to be fulfilled, right? But it's actually the opposite of fulfillment or fullness in our life. And so without God at the center of our lives as He designed, it doesn't matter how much more we get or how much more we have, it will never be enough, will it? People who have gotten to the tops of their games, we were just talking about that this morning in Sunday school, people who have gotten tops of their game, they get there and they realize, you know, I thought it would be more than this. I thought it would be better than this. They've accomplished all they can in their field, and they get there, and there's got to be more. There's got to be something more. So how do we get and keep God at the center of our lives as He designed so that we can be fulfilled, that we can have that fullness in our lives? Well, there's many pieces to that, but I think one of the biggest is prayer, taking the time often to communicate with God, talking with Him, and listening to Him as well. William Carey, a British missionary to India in the late 1700s and the early 1800s, put it this way. He says, prayer, fervent believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. And if Carey was right about that link between prayer and godliness, and I think he's onto something, then it's not surprising then that we're seeing more and more of a disconnect today between what Christians say and what we do, right? You know, we aren't praying as much, we're not connecting with God, and so then there's this disconnect between what we say we believe and what we end up doing with our lives. Prayer is the one thing, though, that we always wish we did more of, right? You know, in fact, I don't know anyone who at the end of their life looked back and said, you know, I wish I would have prayed a little less. I wish I hadn't spent so much time talking with God. Nobody says that. Even the people who are the most prayer-filled in their lives, they look back and they wish they had prayed even more. And so we want to know about that. We want to know how to engage in prayer. We want to know how to understand it. We want to know how it works. We want to know how to have God answer our prayers, right? But it's a tough nut to crack, this prayer thing. Like most of us in this room, we've probably, each of us have probably uttered at some point in our lives, you know, God, can you hear me? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Have you ever felt like that? Like maybe your prayers are being dropped like a bad phone call? You're not connecting somehow? I know I have. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be studying this topic that is both fascinating and frustrating to so many people. And we're doing it because maintaining a healthy prayer life can be one of the most difficult pieces of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And truly, it is hard work. It's difficult to maintain consistency. It's difficult to keep it fresh. It's difficult to keep it meaningful for ourselves and for those around us. And for many people, it's difficult especially to be comfortable praying in public. But if God is as real and personal as He says He is, and He is, then prayer should be the most powerful force, I believe, in the life of a believer. But prayer, it just doesn't come as naturally for us as it does to Jesus, right? We know that prayer is supposed to be two-way communication. It should be a dialogue, but too often it feels more like a monologue, like I'm just talking to God and I just don't hear back. It's hard to communicate and have a conversation with somebody who you just don't always hear, especially audibly. Now, believe it or not, I come by those facts honestly, meaning that, you know, prayer is not always an easy thing in my life either. Now, maybe you think that pastors have some sort of a direct connection to heaven, like there's an app on my phone I can just push and like I got this heavenly connection right there, direct to God. It just doesn't work like that. It's not how it is. And so if prayer is so difficult, then the obvious question for us becomes, you know, why do we do it? Why do we pray? Why do we even bother with it? And I think we've all felt that way from time to time. And so we just maybe put it on the back burner. We give up on it for a while. We don't talk to God. But it always seems to find its way back to the front of our minds, doesn't it? You know, we have this natural desire to connect with our Creator. It's true. Even people who aren't believers and those who reject religion in general, they find themselves praying from time to time. They do. You don't believe me? How did you become a believer? Yeah, we all pray even before we know Christ as our Savior. Almost everyone prays even before that moment they give their life to God. And think back to that moment when you did. How many more times did you talk to God before you got to do that? So many more times for most of us, right? And I think there's one idea, though, that as we all kind of start out on this journey of growing close to God and having God as our Savior, Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And there's this one idea that we tend to operate with when it comes to prayer. And even before we become followers, people tend to have this idea in our minds when it comes to prayer. And it's this idea that it's because of our human nature, it takes a long time to break. It's an incorrect idea about what prayer is. We all begin sort of looking for a way to crack God's prayer safe. We want to find the way in. You know, we may not like to admit it to anyone, or even to ourselves, but what we really want to know when it comes to prayer is, you know, how can I pray so that God will give me what I want? How can I pray so that God will give me what I think I need? And that's not right. That's not the correct idea about prayer, but all too often, that's what we think, subconsciously or even consciously. And I believe one of the very first steps in growing in maturity in our prayer lives is to admit that we do have that kind of tendency in our sinful hearts. And so in the upcoming weeks, we're going to be taking a look at this subject. What Scripture says will help us each grow in our prayer lives. And in fact, not only will this instruction come from the Word of God, from Scripture itself, but it's even going to come more specifically from the greatest prayer who ever lived. It's going to come from Jesus. I'm really excited about that. So who wants to learn more about prayer from Jesus this the upcoming week? That's great. And we got a lot of us, and you're not alone in wanting that, you know, believe it or not. In fact, the gospel accounts of the Lord's Prayer say that we're beginning our study in, they say that the disciples wanted to know more. And so they asked Jesus. That's the reason he even began teaching about prayer in the first place when he taught the Lord's Prayers, because they asked him, Lord, we want to pray. We want to know how you're praying. They wanted to find out about prayer, and so we're going to take this time and study what Scripture has to say about prayer. And incidentally, this is the only place in Scripture where one person teaches another person how to pray. Now, I need to warn you up front, though, that as Jesus teaches us this stuff, what he's going to teach us is that the primary purpose is not maybe what we think it is, especially what we just talked about. It's not what we identify as our first ideas about what prayer is. So let's take a look this morning. We're going to be spending most of our time in Matthew 6 today, so grab your Bibles and turn there if you would. But as you're getting there, I want to share a little bit from Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer that will give us some background. He's the historian after all. So Luke says in Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying at a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" So they were asking Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." The disciples had been watching Jesus and listening to Jesus praying, and they were curious about what they saw and what they heard. Evidently, what they saw as they were listening to Jesus pray was so different from what they had experienced and what they knew to be prayer that they had come to the conclusion, like, you know, we might be doing this prayer thing wrong. Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Teach us about what you understand. Look at Jesus. He's doing this thing over here, and he looks like he knows what he's got going on. He seems like he knows what he's doing. And so they ask him, "Jesus, show us how to do what you do. Show us how to pray the way you pray. We want to pray like that. We want to have that connection with God." And so Jesus honors their requests. And as he gets ready to give them sort of an example on how to pray, but he starts out, before he does, he starts with some very basic principles that when you put them together, they demonstrate an important basis for the purpose of prayer. He wants to be clear before he begins and take away any confusion about what prayer is all about. And here's what he says about prayer. He says, prayer is not to get what we want from God, but to get what God wants for us. Did you get that? Prayer is not about us and our plans for God. It's about God and His plans for us. And we're so tempted to think it's the opposite of that, that it's all about who we are, right? That we're so loved and that we're so cared for that God just wants to cater to our every need. And it sounds kind of selfish when you put it that way, doesn't it? That's because it is. It's not about us. Now, don't get me wrong. God does take care of our every need, and He wants to do that. It's just that sometimes we think we know what we need when we have no idea what we need. But God always knows. And so especially, we need to listen to these opening words on prayer that Jesus offers here. Some basic instructions to get us started so that we can have a fighting chance to have a meaningful prayer life. So what are these principles that Jesus says are going to help us grow closer to Him and have a meaningful prayer life? Let's read them together. I've asked Greta if she would read our passage this morning for us, Matthew 6, 5 through 8. And hopefully you're there in your own Bibles by now. But Matthew 6, 5 through 8, would you read that for us, Greta?
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
Thank you. So, if you were tracking along there, you heard that the first principle Jesus laid out for the basics of prayer is that we should pray with modesty. We should pray with modesty. He says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So amazingly, the very first thing that Jesus talks to His disciples about, according to prayer, is not how to pray, but where to pray, kind of in a way. He says where to pray, right? Now, it may seem strange to us because we all know we can pray anywhere. But how Jesus phrases this gives us our first clue that prayer is not about us, that whole overarching thing, right? It's not about us. The prayer isn't about others seeing us. Now, of course, the place we pray, praying in public, is not the piece He's talking about here. He's not saying just don't go to the corner and pray in public. He's not saying that that's what you shouldn't do. That's not the part we need to avoid, just in case anyone was looking for more justification not to pray in public. That's not it, all right? All right, so, but it's when we pray where we can be seen by others so that we can be seen by others that we need to be avoiding. That's what doesn't hit the heart of what prayer is all about. Now, in order to understand what Jesus is saying here, and just as importantly, why He said it, we've got to go back a couple of thousand years to something that we would have all experienced if we'd been walking around the city of Jerusalem in Jesus' day. Now, you've heard about the Pharisees, right? They were a group of people who saw themselves as uber Christians, and not the taxi driving kind, just the kind that thinks they were really the ultimate example of what a Christian should be, right? They saw God in terms of rules and regulations, and they had made operating according to those rules and regulations like down to a science. They just perfected it, all right? They thought they could make it happen by doing all the rules. They were fanatic about keeping those laws, and they clarified down to a T exactly the things they could do and exactly the things that they couldn't do in order to stay in the graces of God. They wore their religion on their sleeves as sort of a badge of honor. Look how religious I am. I am an uber Christian. They wanted people to know just how religious they were. And they loved to pray in public, especially in one of two places. They loved to pray in the synagogues or the places of worship in those days, and they loved to pray on the corners of busy streets. And the reason they loved to pray in those places is because that's where most people would be gathered during the day. And their timing was impeccable. They knew exactly when to be at what spot. Every afternoon, sacrifices would be offered in the temple. And at the same time every day, a trumpet would blow, and that would signal that it was time to pray. And wherever you were and whatever you were doing, you were expected to stop and pray. And so these Pharisees, who loved to show off just how virtuous and prayer-filled and close to God they were, how spiritual they were, they realized that these were some pretty great times to do a little peacocking, a little showing off, right, about how showcasing their spirituality. And so they would time their errands and their business in town so that when the trumpet would blow, they would be standing on the busiest street corner in their neighborhood. And they would pray loudly enough so that everyone would notice them praying and hear their beautiful words. Now again, Jesus isn't condemning public prayer. The Bible is full of public prayer. In fact, almost all of the prayer that we read about in Scripture is public prayer, especially if you take out the Psalms, right? They were prayers that were prayed when people were around, that we weren't just alone people, all right? But what Jesus is saying here is don't pray for show. Don't save up all your good stuff for talking with God and make a big spectacle of it in front of a crowd. In fact, any prayer that you offer to God in public should simply be an overflow of your private prayer life with Him. It's the overflow of the prayer life you cultivate with God in your own time. Prayer is not about impressing others. Prayer is about connecting with God and His will for us. Because the truth is, when we're praying to show off, it's pretty clear to everyone that we're showing off, you know, especially unbelievers. They're good at spotting that stuff. It doesn't make them want to know God more when they see us showing off in prayer. It just makes us look like fools. And so when it comes to my own prayer life, here are some questions I've used from time to time to help me make sure that I'm praying with modesty. I ask, why am I praying? What am I hoping to accomplish here? What am I hoping for in my prayer life? And I ask also, who do I want to answer this prayer? And if the answer to those questions is not, one, to find God's will, and two, to have God answer my prayer, then what I'm doing is not prayer, it's just showing off. It's not prayer at all. And if I'm ever wondering if there's any power in showing off to help my situation, I just have to remember and think back to any time I've ever tried to show off, and it just didn't end well, right? I end up making a big fool of myself. Somehow that showing off thing always seems to work better for other people. It never worked very well for me. I always made a big fool of myself. But truly, there is no real power in showing off, is there? And even if there were, it's nothing. It's just nothing compared to the power of God, who created the universe and who cares deeply about me. And so I need to learn to pray with modesty. The next thing that Jesus talks to us about and gives us the example in is to pray with sincerity. Number two, pray with sincerity. He says, but when you go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so Jesus says here that real prayer, God-honoring prayer, is prayer that comes from my heart. And so Jesus says, go to a place where you can be alone with God and talk to Him about what's on your heart. And believe it or not, that practice can make a dramatic change in your spiritual growth. There's simply no spiritual or physical or emotional or mental substitute for spending time alone with God. If you're married or even if you have a close friend, you understand this truth because you know that there's no substitute for spending time with that person that you love and alone with them. There's no substitute for that time. Now, you might be wondering what spending time alone with God has to do with sincerity. Well, it sounds a little bit more like secrecy here, doesn't it? It even uses the word secret. But this isn't about hiding from others. This isn't about keeping your prayers away from other people and not letting them know what you're praying about. It's not about hiding from them. It's about being alone with God, having time just with Him, having that time close together. And what we find as we spend that time alone with God is that time actually fosters sincerity in our hearts before God. You know, when it's just me talking to God all by myself, I find, anyway, it becomes a little bit harder to lie or to exaggerate or to make my situation, if it's a prayer concern, make my situation sound worse than what it is. It's hard to do that before an almighty God who knows exactly what's going on, doesn't it? I mean, have you ever found that? It's just hard to stretch the truth about what's happening. And so there's something about talking to the God of the universe that just sort of removes any sort of pretense about who we are or any sort of self-pity about our situation that we're harboring in our hearts. It just does, because He's God. He knows exactly how it is. And besides that, when you're alone with God, there's nobody clapping for your performance. There's no evaluation. There's nobody telling you how great of a prayer you are or how good of a Christian you are. There's no governing body awarding you a plaque and telling you how skillful you are in talking with God. When you're in that secret place with God, it's just you and Him. And that's what He's looking for with you. He wants you to spend your time with Him. He wants you to be willing to be with Him, right? And it seems like we know this in our relationships here on earth with people, right? I mean, when we have something really important we want to talk about with somebody, something that requires some really close connection time, we would go to that person. We would say, "Hey, Matt, can we go somewhere and talk? Can we get alone and just talk a little bit? I want to make sure that I hear you, and I want to make sure you hear me when we talk about this thing because it's really important." We know that, and we do that automatically here. And the reason that's so important is because we want to make sure, like I said, so that we can be heard and so that we can hear them about what we need to discuss. And we know when we have those really important things to be discussed, we need to just shut out the noise, get alone with that person, close off the world around us, and give ourselves a chance to communicate clearly. And I don't know of any more important communication than when we're talking with God. We need to get alone and shut out the noise of the world. And be with just Him. In the same way, right? We spend that regular time with God in private. We're demonstrating that we're sincere about our relationship with Him. That it's important to us. That our faith in Him, in who He is deep. And there's nothing more valuable than that. And so we want to be just with Him. So do you have a place like that? A place where you can go regularly and be alone with God? I mean, it can be anywhere, but we need to have a place we can go to speak with God and to hear from Him as well. That's praying with sincerity. The final piece that Jesus gives us about how we should be praying is that we need to pray specifically. Number three, pray specifically. Pray with a specific purpose. See, Jesus not only tells us where and how to pray, but He also tells us what not to pray. He says, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Now, the word He used here for heard isn't meaning that the people around them catch what He's saying, that they're listening to what He's saying. When Jesus says those people pray thinking that they'll be heard, He means that they pray thinking that they will be taken seriously, that's how they get heard. That's how they get taken seriously before God. And so the implication from those people is that if you want God to take your prayer seriously, you need to use some big flowery words that you wouldn't normally use in conversation, right? And you need to use your extra poetic voice and pray for a really long time. Otherwise, you're simply out of luck because apparently God doesn't understand plain English. I'm so glad that that's not the way it is, right? I mean, I don't talk with a bunch of these and thous and big flowery words all the time. I'm so glad that that's not how God listens. God is not moved by the quantity or the hugiosity of my word. See what I did there? Made up a really awesome big word. The length of my prayer and the language I use doesn't impress God, especially when you make up words like hugiosity. It doesn't make Him more likely to listen to me, right? But in the same way, we shouldn't take prayer so lightly that we're simply going through the motions, using the same cliches or phrases that we hear somewhere and sound like they're really good, and so in the end, we're just not putting any thought into our prayer. There's a balance there. Now, too often, our prayers become something like, "Oh, God, thank you for your blessings. Please continue to bless me. If you continue to bless me, I'll continue to thank you for your blessings. This is great. Amen." It doesn't work like that. That's not praying. That's just repeating a bunch of jibber-jabber. Jesus makes the point that it's not how much we say to God that causes Him to hear us. But what we say is important because He wants it to come from our hearts. And when prayer becomes such generalities and cliches rather than any sort of specific purpose, then we fail to do what God is asking us to do here. The reason we know this is to be true is because of what Jesus says right after He talks to those folks who think that using a lot of big flowery words will make prayer work. Here's what He says. He says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." That's a very humbling statement, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of almost demotivating even to pray. I mean, think about that for a minute. What if you had a friend who knew everything you were going to say before you even said it? It kind of makes you feel like, why even bother talking with them, right? They already know. I'm just stand beside them and then we're good, right? But here's the deal. I think that's exactly the point. Remember, prayer is not primarily about telling God what you need. It's not about asking for those things. Prayer is firstly about getting closer to God, finding His will for our lives in a situation so that we can be part of it. Prayer is about allowing God to change us. It's about closeness with Him. It's about relationship, getting to truly know His heart. And so Jesus says, don't bring God your shopping list. He already knows what's on it. And He will absolutely work in those things for the good of those who love Him. But here's what I want, He says. He says, bring me your heart. Bring me your love. Bring me your time. Bring me your attention, your openness. Bring me your affection. In other words, prayer isn't primarily about getting things from God. It's about spending time with God. Or you could put it this way. You know, God communicates to us in so many different ways, doesn't He? I mean, first and foremost, He uses Scripture to communicate to us through His Word, the Bible, right? Sometimes He uses our circumstances, and sometimes He uses other believers or other people, and sometimes He communicates to us through creation or other means. But the only way that we can communicate with God is through prayer. There's no other way that we communicate with God. There's no other way that we can deepen our communion with Him. There's no other way we can have that kind of intimacy through Him except through prayer. And once we understand that, our prayer life suddenly changes from shopping lists of things that we think we want and need to so much more than those things. Prayer is one of the biggest ways that God uses to deepen our relationships with Him. And so the question we can use as sort of a barometer here of where we need to be at or where we need to be working on is this question here. How much would I pray if I never needed anything? How much would I pray if I never needed anything? And if the honest answer is not much, then we've got some work to do in our prayer life because we've got some misguided ideas about what prayer is all about, what its purpose is. And the only way we're going to fix those things is to get into the Word and to practice praying. I know in my own life, and I've seen in other lives around me, that we can go for years and years with wrong ideas about prayer or even other spiritual things because we don't do the work of getting into the Word to study what it says about those things. And we need to get into the Word and do that. And so whatever you choose to do with your prayer life, leaving here today, do something. Don't do nothing. When it comes to prayer, definitely don't do nothing. We need to be talking to God. We need to be communicating with Him. If Jesus in Matthew 6 tells us anything, it's that God wants that from us. He wants that intimacy from us. He wants to communicate with us, and He's waiting for us to do just that, to talk with Him. Will you connect with Him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and we praise You that You are God who wants to connect with us. Lord, as we go into this series on prayer, just pray that you would give us all a new, fresh bit of what we need to be working on in our own prayer lives. Deepen our time of communion with You for what we learn in the upcoming weeks. Speak to us clearly, however You choose to, through Your Word, through other people, through creation, even audibly, Lord. Lord, speak to us. We want to know You. We want to know You closely. Help us to draw close to You in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.